fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Today on Route 51, we are previewing the inaugural Central Wisconsin Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure, scheduled in downtown Wausau this Sunday morning. I'm Glenn Moberg, and for the next hour, we'll be not only previewing the event, but looking at the ongoing effort to find a cure for breast cancer, the struggle of survivors who have been diagnosed with the disease and who have battled to overcome it. And we'll look at efforts by our local healthcare providers, Aspirus Hospital and the Marshfield Clinic, to expand coverage and bring diagnostic treatment to the underinsured and underserved women of central Wisconsin. The event, so far, has exceeded expectations. Organizers had hoped for 1,000 participants, but as of this afternoon, 1,600 people have signed up, and $80,000 has already been raised for the fight against breast cancer. Our guest today, Susan Ford Hoffert, the president of the Susan G. Komen for the Cure Central Wisconsin affiliate. Also, Ellen Fuchssteiner, one of the original board members of the Central Wisconsin affiliate and the former chair of the grant committee. And Denise Hunt, a Plover woman who has waged her own courageous battle against breast cancer. As always, we'd like to hear from you. Is this event and this organization important to you? Are you struggling with breast cancer, or do you know someone who is? We'd like very much for you to call us and share your story toll-free at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Denise, Ellen, and Susan, thanks so much for sharing the next hour with us.
Well, thank you, Glenn. Well,
thank you for having us.
Susan, this is something else. You were hoping for 1,000 people?
Yeah, I know. I want to say, woohoo! We are really excited about this. I mean, we're going on caffeine and adrenaline at this stage because we're trying to get it all ready, but the turnout has far exceeded our expectations, and we're just thrilled. And as you start talking to people who are registering, you start to hear the stories, and you tear up at least once a day, if not more. It's very cool.
Now, tell us about the event that's scheduled this Sunday in downtown Wausau. What's going to be happening?
Well, we're going to start opening our doors, so to speak, at 7 a.m. with breakfast at the Survivor Tent. What we're going to do is stage the event on the 400 block, so you will see a lot of pink, but you'll see our national sponsors, our local sponsors will have tents. We'll have, as I mentioned, the Survivor Tent, which is really the focal point. Survivors can go in there and have breakfast, take a break. We have some really cool decorations in there, and there's going to be music. There's a stage. We'll have announcers and a script going all the time. Then at 9 a.m., the 5K will start, and it's a run walk, so not everybody will run. There will be some people who have chips and are more serious than others who will just stroll along. We also have a 1K sort of family stroller, kids, maybe older people who don't want to, you know, go the length. That'll all start. There's going to be food. There's, like I said, there's going to be music. It'll be kind of exciting.
And for those of you who are planning on driving through downtown Wausau, most of the streets are going to be closed on Sunday morning. So I suggest that you get as far as the street closures, park your car, and then walk to the event so that you can experience this for yourself. You want to bring in $100,000 for breast cancer research. How does it work? How do you actually raise the money?
Well, everybody who has registered obviously pays a fee that pretty much covers our expenses. They get a T-shirt, they get a goodie bag, and it helps us with the donations. We've had sponsors, very generous sponsors in this area, especially Marshfield Clinic, who is our premier sponsor. But we ask each individual or team to also raise money through pledges. And one of the easiest ways that, because it's hard to ask people for money, you know, but if you go to a friend and say,
yeah, tell
hey,
me about it.
If you go to, yeah, you guys know this drill. But if you go to a friend and you say, this is a really important cause for me, and can you lend me $5 or $10? And you have 10 friends or 20 friends, you can make easily a $100 donation. So actually, in all the races for the cure, it's those pledges that really fund most of the monies that are coming in.
And as we said, you've already raised $80,000,
yeah,
so you're going to go above that $100,000.
And one of the wonderful things about the Komen website when you sign up, too, is that when you go online, they have everything you need there. The emails are all preformed if you just don't know how to do the ask, and they have several different templates that you can use to reach out to your friends and say, hey, this is what I'm doing. They have a website where you can track your progress, so you can send your friends directly to that website, and they can see how you're doing in your fundraising efforts.
And that website address is ComanCentralWisconsin.org. That's Coman with a K, CentralWisconsin.org. And you can register online through what, noon tomorrow?
Through noon tomorrow. Then we are going to close it so that we can kind of prepare for the numbers. But we will also open registration in person for Sunday morning starting at 7 a.m.
But if you want to register Sunday morning, you should probably get there a little bit
1,600 early. 1,600 people will be downtown Wausau. So I would suggest you register early and maybe pick up your packet early, too.
Ellen, why did you get involved with this organization?
Well, it's interesting. I had a coworker who was also involved in the beginning, and when they were talking about trying to bring the race to Wausau, and she asked if I would like to be involved. And historically, growing up, I was really good friends with a neighborhood boy, and his mother died of cancer when I was in eighth grade, and he was a freshman in high school. So I saw
must have been awful for
him. Yeah, I saw the terrible impact it had on his family. It was just he and his dad left then, and it had devastated his mother's family, actually. His mother's sister had it. His mother's mother had it. You know, it just had devastated his family. So I had an experience as a young child with it, and then continued to have experiences with it through my adult life. One of my very best friends from childhood, again, has a family legacy of it. And so I just knew how important it was, even though it hadn't touched my family yet, how important it was. I saw the effect it was having, and I thought it was a great cause to get involved with.
Who was Susan G. Coman?
This is an interesting story because we do have a long name, Susan G. Coman for the Cure, but the reason we have that name is because we are honoring a real person. Susan G. Coman was a woman who lived and died in Peoria, Illinois, and she got breast cancer. I believe it was 30 years ago that she died. Back when nobody talked about it, back when we didn't have the diagnostic tools, we didn't have the early detection tools, and she went through a lot and died way too young at the age of 36, but she had a sister named Nancy Brinker, and she made Nancy promise her that she would do whatever she could to help other women avoid going through what Susie went through. And Nancy Brinker, to her great and unending credit, actually did do something. She took it, and she started the first race and back in Dallas, and it just grew and grew and grew because, like Ellen said, it's very hard to find people who haven't been touched by it, either directly or indirectly. And it is something that, unfortunately, we don't know what causes it. We don't have the cures yet, but we're getting closer, and this organization is dedicated to finding and ending it.
36 years old, it seems, and it is, it's so young to die from something like this. Is that a common age for breast cancer victims, or is that inordinately young?
It's young. Go ahead.
No, most of the time they say usually 50 and over. I've had it three times, and they keep telling me I'm too young, but like I said, it's one of those things. But, you know, I think the biggest thing with these races is not the event of getting out there, but women need to realize that, you know, we do somewhat have a cure, which is early prevention. You know, your annual checks, your mammograms, your monthly self-breast checks, that is something that can just prevent you from having to deal with so much. People think it's, you know, the breast cancer, but you don't realize the after effects, the side effects you have to deal with. You know, first stage breast cancer, they'll detect it through a mammogram. They'll probably have a lumpectomy, radiation. You're going to be a little tired through the radiation, but after that, there's really no after effects, you know. If you don't think about it, the first time I had it 7 years ago, I had first stage, never thought about it again that I would ever get it. Felt great. Lived a normal life. In December of 08, I was diagnosed with inflammatory breast cancer. So I had chemotherapy for 6 months. I had a double mastectomy and then did tomotherapy. And there's a lot of things that you have to deal with, from the chemo, from the medicines that I have to take.
You're still taking the medicines?
Yes. In fact, I just went yesterday. So today's kind of a low day, but that's okay. You know, it's just sad that I just wish more women would realize this. You know, we see this all the time. And I do have to say I'm very proud of the people I work with, because one of the ladies in our HR department had brought in the mammogram van. And so that way there's no
on
excuse.
You can give them a plug, Denise. Yeah. Where do you work?
Golden County Foods.
Okay.
I've been there for 12 years, and a lot of people have went through these cancers with me for the last 7 years. And I will say I have the most amazing coworkers in the world. They were very supportive. I can't say enough about them. So,
how did you find out?
The first time I had a mammogram, and they found calcifications. And so then, like I said, I had a lumpectomy and had 28 treatments of radiation, and that was it.
And you thought you had it licked at that time?
Yes, and I was just about to celebrate my 5-year anniversary of being cancer-free. And then on the skin of my right breast, there was some funny looking, you know, it looked like mm-hmm. an orange peel. And then all of a sudden it started to get where I had pain under my arm, and went in and found out I had 4th stage inflammatory breast cancer, which the survival rate's not very good. So it was quite the battle. And then I just finished treatments September 15th of 08. I was had my PET scan clean of cancer. December 29th of 08, or excuse me, 09, I again had a PET scan, no cancer. And in March of 2010, found another lump.
How do you find the courage to show up for a radio show like this? When you've just had to take medication the day before, I mean, that would lay most people flat on their back. They'd say the last thing I want to do is go out in front of the public.
Today, I'll tell you that. No, I don't know. It's just so important, you know. This has been a big year for me. Through Susan G. Komen and the Major League Baseball, I was honored as the honorary bat girl for the Milwaukee Brewers. So I've had a lot of honors like that, but the main thing is, it's not me. It's my story, you know. These women have to. I understand people don't have insurance, but I'll tell you what. If you know what the cost of a PET scan or a CT scan or chemotherapy treatment, my shot I got yesterday is $3,500. I'll tell you what. A mammogram is a lot cheaper to have done, and it's going to save you a lot of heartache. And it's not only you. It's your family. You have to realize the impact it has on your family.
I think that's one of the biggest things. I think, you know, as I talk with other survivors and how that impacts the family, it they kind of hold it in, because you're dealing with your issues and they don't want to get in the way and they want to support you, but who's supporting them? Because mm-hmm. they're going through a lot of emotion too.
Denise, what about your family? How did they cope with the news?
I have a daughter and a son. My daughter actually is right now serving her internship in Madison for radiation therapy. It basically after my first bout with the cancer, that's the direction she decided to take. My son is a student at UW-Milwaukee for civil engineering. When they found out in December of 08, they both came home to Plover, and then they transferred to UW-Stevens Point and were there to help me go through my treatment and that. But they're very supportive. I've been blessed with two of the greatest kids ever. And like I said, family, friends, coworkers, that's the support you need. That's what keeps you going. That's what keeps a positive attitude.
And a single shot is $3,500?
Yeah.
What about people without insurance? How do they afford that?
Well, that's a good segue into why Komen exists. There are a lot of foundations, a lot of organizations out there trying to help women. And to Denise's point, if we can get people in earlier, not only are your chances so much better, but it's also cheaper, to mm-hmm. be blunt. And we have Susan G. Komen is a funding organization. We don't give directly to individuals, but we give to programs that aim to help reach out, especially to rural minority groups. And the mobile mammogram unit, both Marshfield and Aspires have them. We've been a big funder of the Aspires Women's Health Foundation's mm-hmm. Program, and they take the unit out to small towns, and it's right there. It's easy. And if women don't have the money to the insurance, they go in, they get the clinical exam, they get the digital mammogram. If they need help, they can help them, and they help them negotiate through the financial resources. So, that is one of the ways. But again, women have to be aware They have to be educated to know what their risks are. I think a lot of people think it only strikes people who have it in their family. And I think it's like 80% is not hereditary. There's more than one type of breast cancer. And we found that out through the research Coleman has funded in part. So you need to understand if you're a woman and you're getting older, your risk is getting higher. If you've been diagnosed, your risk is higher again.
The Komen organization has raised $1.5 billion for breast cancer research. Are we any closer to a cure?
I think we're a lot closer. I think it's becoming, we have the largest group of survivors of any type of cancer in the U.S. We have identified different strains of the cause of breast cancer. We've come up with better tools to diagnose. And now they're having this fall, Komen is sponsoring an actual IT sort of forum to get better tools, because mammograms, unfortunately, aren't 100% accurate. They don't work with younger women with denser breasts. And if younger women are diagnosed, it's always it's more of a risk. It seems a more serious strain. So let's find a better way to diagnose. So, you know, we're making progress. We're talking about it right now. We're having 1,600 people come down to help us. So just getting it out in the public eye is going to be help.
We're going to have to take a short break, but we are talking about the fight against breast cancer and the inaugural Susan G. Komen for the Cure, Central Wisconsin. It's a race taking place in downtown Wausau on Sunday morning. They've already got 1,600 people signed up, but there's still room for you. KomenCentralWisconsin.org. They are registering people through noon tomorrow on the website, and then on the day of the event, you can show up early in downtown Wausau, and they'll sign you up. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We'll be back right after this.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Our guests today, Susan Ford Hoffert and Ellen Fuchssteiner. They're both affiliated with the Susan G. Komen for the Cure Central Wisconsin affiliate, and Denise Hunt, who is a breast cancer survivor. We're talking about the fight against breast cancer. If you've got a personal story, if you've got a loved one who is stricken with this disease, if you think this organization and the event is important, please put in your 2 cents worth. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines are open at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Susan, why the decision to open a Central Wisconsin affiliate? How long has it been around?
We're going into our fourth year, but actually it was like 2 years of preparation work to get the affiliation okayed by National. And it was actually the brainchild of someone who's no longer here, Linda Schultz. She was the original president and then retired and moved to Colorado, so I inherited her job. But it was important to her for the same reason it's important to all three of us here, is that she had a personal experience with it. She believed that Komen could bring something, that there were gaps in services, that there was a need out there. And we did the grunt work. We went out there. We talked to providers. Mm-hmm. And we found out that, yeah, there is a need and there are some service gaps. So we hope to fill them and help people here.
When did you decide to do this race downtown?
Well, you know, when Komen agrees to allow you to be an affiliate, they kind of want you to make sure that you're established a little bit, that people know that you're there and that you're actually doing some good in the community. So we had to wait a couple of years. We had a couple fundraisers. We did a public forum. We did a community profile, which, again, looking at stats and anecdotal evidence, kind of laid out what the state of breast health is here in Central Wisconsin. And then they said, you know, you guys are doing a great job. I think it's time to give you the race. And so it was about a year ago that we got the word, and we've been working ever since.
It was important for most of the original grant members. That was the first thing on their mind before we even got approval as an affiliate was, we want to do the race, and when can we do the race? But it was explained to us that whereas in the beginning when this Susan G. Komen was starting to get larger, many of the affiliates started with the race and then tried to integrate into the community with alternative things besides the race. And they realized that that actually was a little backwards and difficult to do because the center was so much on the race. So when later affiliates joined, the requirement became to kind of prove yourself as an affiliate first, and then you can have the race.
Denise Hunt, how important is this organization to you, and how important is the event this Sunday?
I'm very excited. I've done the Susan G. Komen in Milwaukee and Madison, and I can't tell you how thrilled I am that it's here just up the highway. It's so exciting. It's one thing that I think if everybody has a chance to participate in, it's really great. You were talking here about the age of Susan G. Komen being 36. Wait till you get there Sunday. Mm-hmm. You will see fathers that may be having a sign that says, walking in memory of my daughter. You'll see young mothers carrying babies that have a survivor shirt. That's the ones that hit the heart. Yep. I mean, that is really, So it is. It's very important to get the knowledge out there.
And I think it's such an emotional day because, it's called the Race for the Cure, but it really is an event, a celebration of survivors and an honor of those who aren't with us. And we will have a little area where, it's a memorial for those who aren't with us. And that hits you. It really hits you when you see some of those survivor. Every racer has a chance to wear a bib on the back naming somebody. So that hits you.
Susan Ford Hofford, Ellen Fuchssteiner, and Denise Hunt. We're talking about the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure. We'll be back with more after this news break. We are back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Moberg. The subject today, the inaugural Central Wisconsin Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure. It's scheduled in downtown Wausau this Sunday morning. And if you want to find out more about it or register, I'll get that website out again, KomenCentralWisconsin.org. They are registering through noon tomorrow and then on the day of the race itself. Our guest today, Susan Ford Hofford. She's the president of the Susan G. Komen for the Cure Central Wisconsin affiliate. Ellen Fuchssteiner, who is one of the original board members of the Central Wisconsin affiliate and the former chair of the grant committee. And Denise Hunt, a Plover woman who has waged her own courageous battle against breast cancer. Our lines are open to any of you who have struggled with this disease, know somebody who has, or who thinks that this event and this organization is important. 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Have we been able to figure out at all what the causes of breast cancer are?
No, we really haven't. I mean, we've identified some hereditary genes, but beyond that, because so much of it isn't hereditary, we're not that much closer to finding the cause.
So at this point, the most important thing you can do is get an early detection.
Yeah. That increases your survival rate immensely. Doing a monthly exam, knowing your body, knowing the changes in your body, and then having a yearly clinical exam by a physician. And then if you're over 40, having an annual mammogram.
There are efforts underway by both Aspirus Hospital and the Marshfield Clinic, the representatives of the two major healthcare providers in the area, to get this early detection, get the screenings, and if possible, get treatment to some of the underserved and underinsured women in North Central Wisconsin. I did an interview yesterday with Dr. Julie Lux. She's the medical director for Aspirus Women's Health on efforts to expand coverage and bring screenings to the underserved and the underinsured. And this is what she had to say.
We have a free breast cancer screening program where our mobile mammography unit goes to a variety of locations in central Wisconsin, and we offer a clinical breast exam with a physician or a nurse practitioner, a mammogram, and breast health education all free for women who qualify for the service.
And how many, and I know you probably don't have an exact answer, but how many women like that are out there, women who really should be getting these checkups but for one reason or another aren't?
Since we began this program in May of 2008, we've either screened or referred to another program for the women who didn't qualify for our screening to Wisconsin Well Women, and screened over 500 women. And we are aware that many, many others would qualify but are not really seeking the service.
Are there any target populations that you're going after?
The populations would be women who have either financial barriers or even barriers of distance and location, and certainly into our populations in the Latino and Hmong populations as well.
Are there some cultural things that make some groups just reticent to obtain this kind of treatment?
I think that's probably the case. Of course, we have language barriers, and many women also are fearful to find breast cancer, and then how would they afford to take care of the disease if they had it?
Well, that's a good question. How would they afford to take care of it? What more still needs to be done on a societal level?
We have really made great strides in breast cancer awareness and screening for breast cancer, but there's still issues of understanding the health system, how to access it, how to act on the information, even sometimes when it's obtained. These are health literacy issues. Of course, financial barriers are huge, and this program, you know, seeks to cross that bridge.
Will the health care reform legislation that's been passed on a federal level, will that help remove some of those barriers in the future? Is that something you'd feel comfortable commenting on?
There's an expectation in the United States that 19 million, I believe, uninsured people who do not seek health care because of no coverage will now have coverage, and mammography will be one of the mandated preventive services that will be covered in health care reform. So we should see, ideally see a lot more women who are not getting this very needed service obtain this screening.
Anything you'd like to add, Julie?
I don't know if I said this, but we've served overall over 500 women since our program began, and we plan to continue. We have a very large, generous grant from Komen, and as well the Aspirus Health Foundation, Radiology Associates of Wausau, and considerable in-kind support from Aspirus Wausau Hospital.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye-bye. Dr. Julie Lux, Medical Director for Aspirus Women's Health, on the efforts to expand coverage and bring screenings to the underserved and underinsured. Susan Ford Hoffert and Ellen Fuchssteiner and Denise Hunt, anything you would like to add to what she just had to say?
I think now that they're going to mandate this, basically the responsibility lies with the person themselves. And I guess we talk about this woman with breast cancer. Breast cancer also can be detected in men. But I think, too, to you gentlemen out there, it's very important. You have a lot of special ladies in your lives. You have wives, girlfriends, mothers, grandmothers, aunts, daughters. You need to realize what it's like for a person to go through this. You need to realize what kind of support you have to do. Take the time, ask those ladies if they have got their annual. This isn't something that we just are too embarrassed to talk about anymore. I actually, on an annual basis, discuss this in meetings with the employees, my coworkers at work, so they get out there, so they understand the importance of it. Your wife comes home, tells you that she has breast cancer. How are you going to react? And your support is going to make it for her. That's it. She really needs that.
Is this still something some people have trouble talking about and dealing with, even this far into it? There's always seemed to be a societal taboo, at least until recently, about even talking about breast cancer.
I think it is. And, you know, our experience has been with the grants that we have given out and the feedback that we've gotten from the grantees and from the people who have gone, and Dr. Lux hit on this also, that there's a denial factor there because they don't know what they would do if they were diagnosed. So it's just easier not to even try and find out. And then the barriers that they face once they do have diagnosed, in particular, we've talked about, like, Hispanic population and a cultural barrier that women generally take care of the children. So how do they go get their treatments during the day if they're taking care of the children? And, you know, how do we help make access easier for them in those kinds of situations?
Well, and beyond that, a lot of women just feel like they're the caregivers and right. they don't take care of themselves. And that's kind of understandable. You get caught up in it. But if you're not there to take care of them, I mean, you've got to think of it that way, too. You've got to take care of the caregiver. I think a lot of people just don't want to know. They don't want to know. They have more fear. They think if they get diagnosed, it's going to be, and sometimes it is, very, very traumatic. But if you get it soon enough, as Linda or as Denise was saying, and as I experienced, it's not as huge a deal. It's a big deal, but you can recover from it very easily.
You know, we live in such a beauty obsessed culture, and we have this definition of beauty that is it's Paleolithic in some ways. You know, it is just not very advanced, but yet it's endemic. It's everywhere. Denise, is that something that you encountered as a woman who's undergone a mastectomy, deal with the psychological effects of the prevailing attitudes in our society in America?
Personally, I think it's great never having to wear a bra, but it is. It's one of those things. But, you know, like I said, you don't realize the side effects. I have two other girlfriends that are from the Plover area that all three of us actually at the same time are going through breast cancer. And first of all, you have the big thing, you lose your hair. So, you know, you go around and, you know, there's no such thing as redoing your hair, rewashing it, because there's no hair to do. You throw a scarf on and you walk in and, you know, that's it. And truthfully, hair is a little overrated. You actually can sleep in a little longer if you don't have to get up and do your hair. It's great. And then when it comes back so curly, everybody thinks you got a perm and it's like, no, so you just wash it and go. But then you have some of the treatments, some of the chemos that we had to take had steroids in them. So, first of all, you can't sleep, so you're up prowling the house at night. And so what else is there to do at 3 o'clock in the morning but eat? So now, not only are you bald, but now you're going to eat and gain weight. It's like, you know, it's just those things that you have to overcome. But I'll tell you, they build your confidence in that. And, when I had to do the double mastectomy, my doctor only wanted me to remove the right side. I had actually talked to a couple, of the guys I work with that I'm very close to. And they basically said if it was their wife, they would say, just do them both and be done. And actually, I was very lucky because I had it in the left side and it never had been detected. So I would have basically just got all the treatments for the right and turned around to the left. But it hasn't bothered me. There's so much more to life. You appreciate life so much more. It's a shame that we have to go through things like this to get to that point. But you do.
What did you personally find helpful in developing the courage to fight the disease and then continue on with your life?
I think it's just the support you have. Like my kids came home, my family, my parents, my sister, nephews. I mean, they were all there for me. I have a great group of friends. Probably one of the greatest networks is Facebook. I'm on Facebook, and I'll tell you, sometimes you sit down and you write what's going on, and you get so much support. You just feel it right there, you know. My coworkers were awesome when I first found out. And then she told me 13 to 14 days after chemo, my hair would start falling out. And sure enough, so first day it started coming out, I waited for my daughter to shave my head. And the next day four of the people that I work with came in with their head shaved. And from there it went to like 25 people. Some women donated to Locks of Love. So we had hats made up that said I did it for Denise. They had pink ribbons. They put in my office and put messages. And every day I walked in that office and I read those messages. And then my favorite was they had a pink day. And these two younger boys were like 6 foot tall. And they went to Walmart to the women's section and bought hot pink sweatsuits. So like they had them up to their knees. But it was great. It was great. But that's the support that you need. You know, nowadays, one thing I tell people, there's ways of letting people know. You know, people don't send cards anymore because we now have texting. We have Facebook. Mm-hmm. emails, but it is. Just let that person know you're thinking about them. Because, like I said, even though you got the clear bill of health, the cancer's gone, there's still a lot of things you have to deal with.
Yeah, that's truly true. One of our grantees, I'll put a plug in for them because they deal with this, is A Time to Heal, which is a support group for women who have gone through the treatment. They're done with the treatment, and then it ends, and they suddenly have to turn around and say, now what do I do with my life? Look at what it did to me. And that has been a very successful program. I think it's something that people have to step back and say, how did this change? Because it will change you. Cheryl Kroll said something like, every day I know I had cancer. It's always there. I can't get away from it.
We're talking to Susan Ford Hoffert and Ellen Fuchssteiner and cancer survivor Denise Hunt about the battle against breast cancer and the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure taking place in downtown Wausau next Sunday morning. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We'll be back right after this.
Support for WPR comes from the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure, being held in downtown Wausau on August 22nd. Supporting local breast cancer programs and research. Information and registration at KomenCentralWisconsin.org.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're talking about the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure taking place in Sunday morning in downtown Wausau and talking about the battle against breast cancer. What I want to do is, before our time completely gets away from us, I want to play a clip from Dr. Ellen Schumann, who is with the Marshfield Clinic, and they are pursuing something that I'd never heard of before. They're actually reaching out to salon operators, beauty parlors, and beauticians to get them to get some of these underserved and underinsured women screened and treated.
One of the things that we've noticed is that many women are not coming in for mammograms. And we've tried reaching out to them by traditional methods of having articles in the newspaper or doing billboards or through their primary care doctors in the office. And we just haven't seen those mammogram numbers increase. We also knew that some of these women in ethnic groups have issues with mammograms and aren't very likely to come in to get them. Some of the women in rural areas, especially women that live on farms, are also not very likely to come all the way into town. So we thought about, well, how else can we reach these women? Most women come into beauty salons. They come in to get their hair cut, styled, colored, and they have a long-term relationship with their hairstylist in most cases. They're kind of equivalent to the relationship that a lot of people have with their bartenders. They talk a lot. They share a lot. If we can reach out to these beauticians and we can teach them a little bit about breast health, talk to them about breast cancer, a little bit about the importance of mammograms, maybe they can have an impact on their customers, and we can get the women to come in for mammograms using the beauticians as part of our approach.
So practically speaking, how are you going about doing this? Are you just looking up beauticians in the phone book and calling them up and setting up appointments?
The grant that we got from the Susan G. Komen Foundation allows us to educate the salon owners once we identify them. And it also allows us at a certain number of these salons to actually bring out the Marshfield Clinic mobile mammography van so that we will actually, in some of the locations, be able to do mammograms at the beautician's site instead of making them come in all the way to town or come into the clinic. And we've been talking to some contacts we have within the Hmong Association and at the Beauty College, and with some Hispanic interpreters that we use at the hospital to find out where these women usually go to get their hair services done. And we're going to approach these beauticians and invite them to come to an evening program, which we'll be hosting in October, where we will present the program to them, give them the education that they need to proceed with this, and hopefully they'll agree to work with us on increasing the mammography rate in women.
Have you had a chance to make any contacts yet with the beauticians, or is this just happening?
This is just happening. We're just getting ready to send the letters out. We're working on trying to find beauticians that are especially servicing some of the Hmong and Hispanic women in some of the rural areas in the county.
And again, that's because you're targeting populations which are traditionally underserved and underinsured?
underserved, underinsured, and also just because of ethnic barriers, they don't value, realize the importance of coming in and getting mammography.
How unique is this program to the Marshfield Clinic? It's the first time I've ever heard of anything like this.
I tell you the truth, Glenn, I thought it was a really good idea when I thought it up myself. Then I found out that other people thought it up before me.
If a beautician or a salon operator wants to get in touch with you for this program, what can they do?
We would love to hear from them. They can just call the Marshfield Clinic at our 393-1000 number. You know, we're indebted to Susan G. Coleman for allowing us to do this. And we're looking forward to partnering with the salon owners to hopefully make a really positive impact on improving breast cancer diagnosis in this area.
All right. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you, Glenn.
Dr. Ellen Schumann, Medical Director of the Marshfield Clinic's Women's Wellness Program. Ladies, anything you'd like to add to that?
That's just a great example of thinking outside of the box and trying to reach out. We can't, you know, traditional ways don't always work. So hopefully Coleman can serve as a catalyst for, you know, this kind of brainstorming of new ideas.
I want to get to a phone call. We've got Janice in Plover on the line, and we are down to our last few minutes of the show here. So, Janice, you're on Route 51. Thanks so much for calling in.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. And earlier I heard you say something like you didn't know environmental reasons related to breast cancer, and I don't feel that that's true. I had breast cancer in 2000, and I did a lot of research back at that time, and I found that there were things like chemicals called parabens and phthalates that are in a lot of our women's, and maybe men's too, women's cosmetics and things. And there are hormones in the meat we eat and in the chicken, and pesticides have a hormonal effect on people. And I'd also suggest avoiding hormone treatment because that's, you know, I got my cancer right after that. I took hormone for a year. And being overweight is also, I would consider that an environmental thing because you're, at least for estrogen-positive cancers, you know, your fat creates estrogen.
Janice, thanks so much for the phone call. We are running out of time, and I want our guests to have a chance to comment on your comments.
You know, there are a lot of different factors, and, you know, I'm not a physician, so I don't really feel comfortable commenting, but I do know that, you know, some people can be exposed to certain things and not have any effects, and others do. And that's part of the reason that we have to do more research to find out what exactly it is and how we can fight it.
Janice, thanks so much for the call. We're down to our last couple of minutes. Any of you would like to add about the event this Sunday and about the ongoing fight against breast cancer?
This is a super important event, and we are just so excited to be able to bring it to the Wausau community and the greater Wausau community, the surrounding counties. So we really hope that people come out and get informed. Even if they don't want to do the run either or the 1 mile or the 1 kilometer walk, we welcome them to come down to the square, take a look around. There will be lots of activities, family friendly. Kids will have things to do. Just come and learn about Coleman and what our mission is.
And Denise, as a breast cancer survivor, again, how important are events like this?
Oh, they're very important. I mean, it gets it out there. Like I said, it's not something that we have to be embarrassed about talking about anymore. It's a thing of life, unfortunately. It's not going away. There's more people being diagnosed all the time. And I think this beauty shop is awesome. This is really, that's a great thing. We need to do more things like that. Because I don't know, like you said, I talk about it at my work with people. I'm very proud of the women I work with. I do feel there's a lot more. I've heard a lot less women say, well, it's been 5-10 years since I went to the doctor. I wouldn't even admit that, you know, with knowing people. Honestly, you've got to get in there and take care of this stuff.
Okay. Denise Hunt, Ellen Fuchssteiner, and also Susan Ford Hoffert. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you.
We want to thank our guests and also remind you that the inaugural Central Wisconsin Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure takes place Sunday morning in downtown Wausau. You can register or find out more at KomenCentralWisconsin.org. Registration until noon tomorrow at the website, or the day of the race, that's Sunday morning. And is it the night before?
Party at the Holiday Inn.
Okay, the night before at the Holiday Inn. You can also register. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Next Thursday on Route 51, it's a Republican primary forum for the 29th State Senate District as we welcome into our Wisconsin Public Radio studio Jimmy Boy Edming and Pam Galloway, the two Republicans vying to take on State Senate Majority Leader Russ Decker in the November election. Voters will decide between Mr. Edming and Ms. Galloway in the primary on September 14th. Thanks again for joining us and riding along with us. Until next week, we're heading out of town.